fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I want to talk one more time this week about the story of Lazarus and draw some truth from it for your life and mine. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them on whatever device you have that you can download it to, listen to it at your convenience. One more thing I'd like to encourage you. As you might know, at the end of the program, I'm giving away my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. It's free. You could call the number that you're given there or go to renewalministries.net. You can order your free copy of it there. I think you'll find it helpful. I think you'll find some insight there. Some of the things I've been talking about on the program the last few weeks are there in the booklet. Essentially, the first part of the booklet is trying to understand, why do our times seem so dark? What's at the root of it? What's happening? How can we understand it? What's the battle and how does that battle affect my life? And the second half is all about what it means that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and how Jesus Christ is your light and how you can live more in the light, in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, which Jesus has for you. There's no reason we need to be afraid of the dark. There's no reason we need to run and hide in the dark. But we are, as Jesus said, the light of the world. We are the light of the world. He sends us forth to be a light. And so our light will shine if we're living in Christ, walking in the Lord. The darker the darkness gets, the brighter the light will become. This is a great moment. It's a great moment in your own personal history. It's God's purpose and design that you're alive at this time. And he's made you so you can walk in the footsteps of his son, Jesus, and be everything you were meant to be. Go ahead and call for that booklet. I hope it will be an encouragement to you. God bless you. Now, back to Lazarus, the story of Lazarus, which I talked about a couple of times this week already. I want to just dial into a part of it that you may have missed, where Jesus is standing before the tomb of Lazarus, and he had just got done. He and Martha had this interaction at the beginning of that section. Said Jesus was perturbed again. He came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay across it, a huge stone. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. I mean, her brother, she said, my brother's decaying already. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? That's his promise to you. You too. If you believe, friend, we'll see the glory of God. What's the glory of God? It's the presence of God. It's the holiness of God. Jesus himself has been raised to glory. He's the first one of us that has entered into the presence of God, the Father, in the holy place, where he brought with him human flesh. He's the second Adam, who's leading now a race of people to their ultimate destiny. Where Adam failed, Jesus now is the victor. Jesus is the one who's capable, who's able, who has the power to bring us from death to life and to bring us home to the glory of which we've fallen from, but to bring us to the glory of the Father where we will dwell with him forever. He said, if you believe, you will see God's glory. There's a lot in that one sentence, friends. It's a conditional statement. Belief leads to glory. Then asking the question, okay, then what is belief? What does it look like? That's a crucial question. Jesus speaks about it. Clearly, the disciples show us. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Follow him. Believe in him. Everything that he teaches. Surrender yourself in abandonment to him. It's like Abraham. Abraham's a good example for us. He, as the church teaches us in one of the, I think it's the first Eucharistic prayer, refers to Abraham as our father in faith. And scripture also makes clear that God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. Why? Because Abraham believed that with God, all things were possible. God is able. Say it with me. God is able. God is able to save you. God is able to rescue you. God is able to lead you to your ultimate destiny. God's able to heal you and to heal your family. God's able to set your children free. God's able to do it all. If you believe. And belief means living like you trust him. Really living as if his power is enough. Really living with an understanding that he's with you. And Jesus said, I'm with you always, to know that he hasn't abandoned you. Like Abraham, Abraham became a nomad of faith, to be willing to go wherever Jesus tells you to go, to be willing to do whatever the king tells you to do. Abraham left everything he had built. His property, his whole reputation, his investment in this land, he left it all. And he left it all on a word, on a command. He encountered the Lord, and the Lord says, I'm going to do something in you, and I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. He spoke to a man, a word, a man who was far beyond his age to be starting a family. And his wife, who's his age, is barren. God comes to the barren womb and to the old man, an impossible situation, and says, I'm going to make you a father of a great nation and the mother of a great nation, right? Now, do you think that confounded Abraham for a moment or two? How is that possible? Look at the circumstances of my life. It's just not realistic. It's not going to work. Plus, I've built everything. I have my whole clan here. We're settled here. We have, what sense does it mean? Why don't we just do it here? Because I want you to go with me. Come with me to the land of promise. Where is it? Well, I'll show you. So Abraham leaves everything, his security, his safety, everything he's built on the command of the Lord. And he's believing that he's going to literally be the father of a great nation, and his wife, even though she's barren, is somehow, even in her senior years, is going to have a child. And a great nation is going to come from their loins. That's impossible. Abraham believes the impossible. And he expresses that belief. He didn't just go back and hunker down in his place of safety and say, we'll see what happens. He had to risk. Faith and trust means R-I-S-K, risking everything on the command and the promise of the Lord. Abraham's our father in faith, not because he said, okay, Lord, I believe that Sarah and I will have a child, and went home and stayed home and did everything he could to make that happen. Abraham's our father in faith because he left everything he knew to step into and to sell out for a promise that looked crazy. He confounded Abraham's mind, and in the process, he revealed Abraham's heart. Who do you trust? Where's your security? Where's your identity? Is it in a place of safety that you've crafted for yourself? Is it in the business that you built? Is it in the big bank account that you have? Is it in the neighborhood you're a part of? Is it in the relationships that you have? Where is it? Where do you find your identity? Jesus says to each one of us, he said to Abraham, follow me. Jesus, I believe you. Okay, then follow me. That's it right there. Those two words, follow me. That really will tell the story for each one of us. Did we let go when he called us to let go? Or did we, in fear and insecurity or pride or vanity, whatever, did we insist on holding on to the idols in our life, the things that we define our existence by, the things that give us a sense of safety or a sense of identity? You see, Jesus wants to come and strip away from each one of us these things. I mean, they can be little things, they can be big things, but he knows we have them. Where do you find your identity? Well, I find my identity in God. Really? Do you? Are you doing what he called you to do? Do you pray each day? Are you repenting? Are you participating in the life of the sacraments? Have you entered a parish community? Have you offered your time and your talent and your treasure to the service of the King? Have you heard the constant call of Jesus through the recent popes and others to become directly involved in the new evangelization and spreading the gospel and living the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations? That's what it means to follow him. To say, the master has need of me. Or am I mainly preoccupied with securing my safety, building my own kingdom, doing the things I love to do, that I want to do? And that leads me to the point where I simply don't have time to pay any attention to those things. Meeting with Jesus every day in prayer, reading the Word of God, letting Jesus teach you, let him form your heart, your mind, giving of your time, your talent, your treasure directly to the building up of the body of Christ, not just from a distance, not just throwing a bone or writing a check and saying, okay, I'm cool, but you've decided that you're going to offer your time and your talent, your treasure where you can to the building up of the parish community that you're called to be a part of. Do you have any skin in the game there? Are you serving? Are you building relationships with others and helping others grow in Christ? Are you hungering and seeking after God and helping others do it? Have you ever in your life prayed for help from the Holy Spirit to give you an opportunity to share your faith with others or to invite other people into a relationship with Christ? If these things are not on your radar, you're not really a disciple. You haven't got serious yet. You haven't really let go, because there's other things that are clamoring for your attention that have your attention and that have a hold on your heart. They're holding you and they're binding you, and you have to let them go. I don't care how big or how important it is. You got to let it go. You can't gain the whole world and lose your soul in the process. The saints tell us, look, there's nothing greater, there's nothing bigger, there's nothing more awesome, there's nothing worth living for more than loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor, and make disciples. These are things that God wants to teach us how to do right where we are. He knows in our vocation, in our home, our neighborhoods, even our jobs. He'll show us. The question is, have we let go? Have we let go of our grip on these things, because we're afraid what will happen if we let go? There's no better time, there's no better season than right now, friend, to let go, to give God permission, to say, Jesus, everything that is mine is yours. Show me. Lead me. I'm scared. I'm proud. Help me. If you pray that prayer, he'll rock your world, and you'll be so glad he did. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.